Today we've come to the fourth message in our series on salvation.
今天我们来到救恩系列的第四讲。
And the title for my message today is Born Again, the Miracle of Transformation.
今天我为大家分享信息的主题是重生，生命改变的奇迹。
Last week, Albert began his exposition on salvation by pointing to the Lord Jesus' teaching in John chapter 3.
上一周 Albert 解释耶稣所传讲的救恩，谈到约翰福音的第三章。
John chapter 3 verse 3, which has to do with the starting point of salvation, namely, to be born again.
约翰福音三章第三节是关于救恩的开头，就是要重生。
So let us read again from John chapter 3, verse 3.
让我们再一次看约翰福音三章第三节。
Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
耶稣回答说，我实实在在地告诉你，人若不重生，就不能见神的国。
Today, we want to look more closely at what it means to be born again.And why it is absolutely crucial to our salvation.
今天我们要详细一点去看重生是什么的意思，还有为什么它对于救恩来说是非常的关键的。
Without which, no one can see or enter the kingdom of God.
如果没有重生，人就不能够看见或者是进入神的国。
Our text today is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 27.
今天我们的主要的经文是马可福音十章十七到二十七节。
Mark chapter 10 verses 17 to 27.
马可福音十章十七到二十七节。
I would read it out in English. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. He said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, You lack one thing.Go, sell all that you have, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again,Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, Then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God.So this is quite a long passage, but a very important one if we want to understand the requirement to enter the kingdom of God.
这是一段比较长的经文，但是确实非常重要，如果我们想要明白如何进入神的国。
Here, a question is posed by this young man.
在这里，一个年轻人他问了一个问题。
How do I inherit eternal life?
我应该怎样才能够承受永生呢?
In other words, how can I be saved?
换句话说,我如何才能够得救呢?
So here Jesus is dealing with an important topic about salvation.
主耶稣在这里是在讨论一个重要的话题,就是救恩。
And this account is so important that you can find it in all three synoptic gospels.
那这个事件是很重要,所以在头三本的福音书都可以找到这个事件。
In Luke's Gospel, we are told that this young man is actually a certain ruler.
在路加福音那里记载这个年轻人是一个官。
And he's extremely rich.
他是非常富有的。
Immediately, we would notice something about this rich young ruler.
很快我们可以观察到关于这个年轻的官的一些的事情。
He's really quite an exceptional person.
他确实是一个很杰出的一个人。
Why do I say that?
为什么我这么说呢?
Despite his position, his high social standing as a ruler, and despite his great wealth, and probably knowledge, education.
虽然他有高贵的身份，也有很有钱，他可能也是非常有学问，受过教育的。
Yet he comes so humbly to Jesus as to kneeling down before him.
但是我们却看到他很谦卑的跪在主耶稣的面前。
He's begging to know the path to eternal life.
他去哀求主耶稣，应该怎么样走上永生这个路。
I wonder if any of us is so desperate to know about the path to eternal life as to kneel down before someone.
不知道大家有没有这份的迫切，想要知道怎么样去得到永生，而愿意去跪在一个人的面前呢？
And he addressed Jesus as the good teacher.
而且他也称主耶稣为良善的夫子。
But don't forget, back in those days, Jesus wasn't really held in esteem by the religious authorities.
但是大家要留意到，当时主耶稣并没有被宗教的人物尊重。
But if we read verse 17, you'd notice this rich young ruler's urgency and intensity in finding the answer to his question.
但是我们十七节那里看到这个年轻的官这一份的迫切，热心想要知道他所问的问题的答案。
He's so desperate that he literally ran up to Jesus.
他是非常的迫切。他跑过去去找主耶稣。
For fear that he would have missed him because Jesus was setting out on a journey.
他怕错过了主耶稣，因为主耶稣很可能要出发去一个旅程。
Now let's us consider carefully this question again.
让我们再一次仔细的思想这个问题。
What must I do to inherit eternal life?
我该做什么才能够承受永生呢？
Notice the rich young ruler did not say, "How do I earn eternal life?"
大家要留意，这个年轻的官并没有说我怎么样才能够赚得永生。
Instead, he used the word "inherit."
他用的词是承受永生。
How do I, or what must I do to inherit eternal life?
他说我应该做什么才能够承受永生呢？
Clearly, he knows that salvation is not something that you can get by your own efforts.
他明白到救恩不是靠自己的努力可以得到的。
He knows rather that it must be inherited.
永生是承受的。
So do you all know what inheritance is all about?
大家知道继承产业是一个什么样的图画吗？
Inheritance is something that is given to you.
这个产业是给你的。
But it's given only on a specific condition.
需要有一个特别的条件。
That is on the basis of a definite relation to the person from whom you are inheriting.
需要跟给财产的这个人有一个很明确的关系。
This young rich ruler understands that if he is to inherit eternal life, first he must be related to God as a son.
他明白，如果他想要承受永生的话呢，首先必须要跟神有关系，像父亲跟儿子一样。
He understands that eternal life is available to him only as a child of God.
他明白，只有当他是神的儿子，永生是可以承受的。
Are we a child of God?
我们是神的儿女吗？
Recall last week we looked at an important passage that explains how we become children of God.
上一周我们看过一个重要的经文，说到我们应该如何才能够成为神的儿女。
John chapter 1 verses 12 to 13.
是约翰福音第一章十二到十三节。
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
凡接待他的就是信他名的人，他就赐他们权柄做神的儿女。这等人不是从血气生的。不是从肉身生的，也不是从人意生的，乃是从神生的。
So how do we become children of God?
所以我们如何能够成为神的儿女呢？
Well, the simple answer is to be born of God.
简单的答案就是需要从神而生。
And that is what the Apostle John calls being born again.
这也是使徒约翰在这里说的重生。
Now back to the rich young ruler's question.
让我们回到这个年轻的官他的问题。
Notice the words, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?"
留意这几个字，我应该怎么做才能够承受永生？
The rich young ruler is fully aware that even though salvation is a gift given to him, it's inherited and not earned. It doesn't mean he just sits there and stretch out his hands and just receive it like that.
他明白，虽然永生是好像继承财产这样子给他的，承受永生并不是被动的坐在那里啊，然后伸手就可以得到。
There are certain requirements that we have to fulfill.
是有一些的条件必须先满足的。
There are certain responsibilities on our part.
对于人来说有一些责任需要去做。
So when he asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds by saying the following.
所以当年轻的官问主耶稣，我应该怎么做才能够承受永生？主耶稣是这样回答的。
For a start, keep the commandments.
他首先说要遵守诫命。
You know what the commandments are, don't you?
主耶稣说，你知道诫命是什么，不是吗？
So do what you know you should do.
所以先做你已经知道的，去遵行。
Now, are we surprised by Jesus' answer?
我们是否对主耶稣的回答感到惊奇呢？
We probably have thought, Jesus could have said, "Well, believe in me, and in me you will have eternal life."
或许你会觉得主耶稣是不是应该对他说，相信我吧，只要你相信我就可以得到永生。
But no, here Jesus starts by pointing to the commandments.
但是令我们出奇的就是主耶稣在这里去把它指向遵行诫命。
This brings us to the second point about why it is important to be born again if we are to inherit eternal life.
这带领我们来到第二点，如果我们想要得到永生，为什么重生是这么重要的？
Because in order to truly fulfill the commandments, not justIn keeping with the letter of the law, we need to be transformed by God's power.
因为如果要完全的遵守律法，而不是只是字面上的去遵守律法，我们需要被神的能力去改变。
We need to be born anew, as we shall see a bit later.
我们需要有一个新的生命，这一点我们在之后会看到。
Notice how Jesus, in quoting the commandments here,deliberately left out the first part of the Ten Commandments. Instead, he mentioned only the latter part.
大家留意，当主耶稣谈到这个诫命的时候，他刻意的跳过了十诫的头几个部分。他谈到的只是十诫的后半部分。
Which deal with human relationships.
这个后半部分是关于人际关系的。
It's about how we relate to other people.
是关于我们人与人之间是怎么样去交流、去互动的。
You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother.
不可谋杀，不可犯奸淫，不可偷盗，不可作假见证，也不可辜负人，要去敬重你的父母亲。
So maybe at first we might think, oh, that's easy enough. We don't kill people.We don't commit adultery, we don't steal.
或许你听到这几个诫命的时候会觉得，这很容易做，我没有谋杀，我也没有犯奸淫，我也没有偷窃。
But, I mean, even just the last point, do we actually honor our father and mother in our daily lives?
但是好像最后一个，刚才谈的一个诫命就是，我们是否真正的尊重我们的父母亲呢？
And as we've studied quite in depth the book of James, you'll remember all these commandments are not just to be taken at face value, just that superficial level.
就好像之前我们看雅各书的时候也谈到，这些诫命并不是字面上的去明白，去理解。
Because a person may profess to have faith in God.
因为一个人他可以说他对神有信心。
And perhaps he really...has a genuine devotion and commitment to God.
而确实他真的对神有一份委身，还有一份专注。
But where is that evidence of his faith?
但是 他的信心的证据是什么呢？
How is his faith expressed in practical terms?
他的信心是如何在生活中确实的表现出来呢？
The Lord Jesus tells us here, it's in your relations to other people.
主耶稣在这里告诉我们，信心是借着你跟人与人之间的这个关系去表达出来。
So, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13, verse 9, the fulfillment of the whole commandment is summed up in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
就好像使徒保罗在罗马书的13章第9节那里说，全律法都包在爱人如己这一句话之内的。
And we know that the second part of the Ten Commandments simply cannot be implemented without the basis of the first part.
而我们也知道十诫的后半部分，一个人是做不到的，除非他首先做了第一个部分。
And that is to do with our commitment to God.
那第二个部分是关于一个人对神的委身。
So if any one of us here have tried keeping these commandments, and I stress again, not just the literal meaning, but the spirit of it.
如果在座的大家曾经尝试去守这些的诫命，我也再次强调，不是字面上去守，而是背后的经意。
To really love our neighbors as ourselves.
真正的去爱我们的邻舍，如同自己一样。
And oftentimes, that would mean we will have to put the other people's interests even above our own.
所以很多时候，我们需要把对方的喜好、益处放在我们之前。
You will find that it's just too difficult. It's beyond what our natural human nature can cope.
如果我们尝试过爱人如己的时候，就会发现我们的本性很难做到真正的去爱人如己。
Maybe to do it once or twice is still okay.
如果做一两次可能还可以。
But to do it consistently, and so much that it becomes part of our nature, that is a different story.
但是去持续的这样子去活出爱人如己的生命，直到爱人如己就好像我们很自然的一个表现，那这个确实是没可能。
To love without holding back anything, without reservation.That is only possible when we are born again.
能够真正的做到爱人如己，爱对方没有任何的保留，只有当一个人经历到重生之后才有可能。
When we become partakers of God's divine nature, as the Apostle Peter points out.
重生之后就能够分享神的性情，如同使徒彼得曾经说的。
And this we learned in our previous message entitled Salvation is Power.
这段经文我们曾经学过，在之前谈到救恩是能力的这个信息里面看到。
Why is it possible only when we become a child of God, when we are born again?
为什么只有成为神的儿女，只有重生之后才能够做到爱人如己呢？
Because God is love. And when we are born again, when we share in his nature, his love would flow through us and to others.
因为神是爱，当我们成为神的儿女，那神就使他的爱，他的性情来到重生的人的身上，使到他们可以去爱别人。
Now let us return to our text today in Mark chapter 10 and look at the response of the rich young ruler to Jesus' words.
让我们回到今天的主题经文，也看一看主耶稣对年轻的官的回答。
On hearing Jesus' reply to his question, saying, keep the commandments, the rich young ruler says without hesitation, Teacher, but I have kept all these since my youth.
当这个年轻的官听到主耶稣的回答说到要遵守律法之后呢，他不犹豫的就说，先生，我已经遵守这一切的诫命了。
Notice the word all these.
大家留意他说一切的诫命。
Obviously, he feels he has already met the requirements of fulfilling these commandments.
他觉得自己已经达到诫命的要求了。
And from our observation right at the start, well, this guy comes kneeling before Jesus, very humbly asking Jesus for advice.
刚才我们看到年轻的官是非常的谦卑，跪在主耶稣的面前去求问。
He's not arrogant.
他不是一个骄傲的人。
He's sincere in his attitude.
他是很真诚。
And like many other Jews who were dedicated to God,
就好像当时候其他的犹太人他们是对神是非常的认真的。
The only way he knew how to express his dedication was to keep the law.
那这些犹太人他们对神怎么表达他们的真诚呢？就是去遵守神的诫命。
So when the rich young ruler answers Jesus, well, that he, since young, he has been obeying God's commands, he's not lying or being arrogant.
所以当这个年轻的官他说从年轻的时候我就已经遵守一切的诫命，他并不是在说谎。
I wonder if any one of us here would dare to say, I have been keeping God's commandments since my youth.
不知道有没有人在当中可以好像他这样说，从我年轻的时候就已经去遵守神的诫命了。
So what is the problem here?
所以在这里有什么样的一个问题呢？
If by obeying God we mean through keeping the law, then how complete must this obedience be?
如果需要去顺服神，那顺服要顺服到什么样的一个程度呢？
How complete must our obedience and faith in God be before we get accepted by God?
对神的顺服跟信心需要去到什么样的程度才能够被神所接纳呢？
When the rich young ruler said, See, I have kept the law since my youth, this can only be true if he means by the generally accepted standards of other people.
当这个年轻的官说，我从年幼的时候就遵守了神的诫命，他说的是真的，当我们从人的角度 去看的。
Yeah, from a human perspective, from his perspective, and perhaps most other people's perspective.
所以从人的角度，从别人的角度去看，他去遵守了所有的诫命。
Indeed, as far as any human being is concerned, he has kept as best as he could all these commandments.
所以对于从人的角度，对于一个人的所能做的，那这个年轻的官确实去遵守了所有的诫命。
This is possible, isn't it?
这个是有可能的。
Because even the Apostle Paul himself makes the same claim in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6.
就如使徒保罗他自己也曾经说过同样的话，在腓立比书三章第六节。
As to righteousness under the law, I'm blameless.
就律法上的义说，我是无可指责的。
But just as Paul himself also points out, nobody could have perfectly kept the law that is according to God's standards and not ours.
但是保罗同时也说，没有一个人可以完全的守住律法。这个是从神的角度去看，而不是从人的角度去看。
So do we judge our obedience by our own standards or by God's standards?
所以当我们谈到顺服的时候，我们是从自己的理解去明白顺服，还是从神的角度去明白顺服呢？
And this reminds me of my attitude when I was younger.
这一点也使我想起我年轻的时候的态度。
I used to think I was quite a good person. And I also felt, well, you know, as best as I could, I would be keeping the commandments of God, whatever I learned from the Bible.
我曾经认为自己是一个不错的人，所以当时我也尽我的力去守我所听到圣经的教导。
And from a human perspective, I was doing pretty well.
所以从人的角度来说，我确实做得不错。
But actually, deep in my heart, I knew that I was still so far from God's absolute standard.
但是在我心里面，我清楚地知道，对于神他完全的标准来说，我自己还是差得很远的。
But the problem was, I didn't want to admit that we should all follow God's standard. Why can't I have my own standard?
但是问题就是，我当时候觉得，为什么一定要按着神的标准去走呢？不能够用我自己的标准去看呢？
Isn't what is good, you know, how good we are, isn't it all relative?
良善不是一个相对的事情吗？
So I failed to see what was lacking in my life.
所以当时候我没有看见我缺乏的是什么。
Just as this rich young ruler couldn't see his real condition of his life.
就好像这个年轻的官他也错过了在他生命里面缺乏的是什么东西。
So in order to fully answer this young man's question, Jesus goes on to tell him, one thing you still lack, one essential thing you're lacking.
所以为了回答这个年轻的官的问题，主耶稣接下来这么说，你还缺少一样。 一件不可缺的东西是没有的。
So let us look at our text again, verse 21. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.
第二十一节说，耶稣看着他就爱他，对他说，你还缺少一件，去变卖你所有的，分给穷人，就必有财宝在天上，你还要来跟从我。
So when this rich young man was so desperate to find out what must I do to inherit eternal life, Jesus also tells him the answer.
所以当这个年轻的官迫切地想要明白怎么样才能够承受永生，主耶稣也告诉他这个答案。
You know that one thing that you need for salvation that you're lacking?
他对他说，你知道你还缺少一件事情啊，才能够承受永生。
You have to come, follow me.
你需要来跟从我。
But before you can even come and follow me, there's something else you must do first.
但是在你来跟从我之前，还有一件事你要去做。
You have to go and dispose of all your possessions, your riches which are hindering you from entering the kingdom of God.
他说，你还缺少一件，去变卖你所有的，去分给穷人，因为他所拥有的正在拦阻他进入神的国。
Now, this is getting a bit uncomfortable for us all. Money, possessions, aren't they what we are seeking or working for every day?
听到这段话对于我们来说就会感受不舒服。金钱，我们不是每一个人都在追求这些东西吗？
And for some people, that's the whole reason they came to the UK, to make a fortune, hopefully.
对一些人来说，他们来到英国就是为了，真正是为了这个原因，赚到更多的钱。
So here is definitely not something that we would like to hear.
所以主耶稣的回答并不是我们希望听到的。
But Jesus never waters down his teaching.
但是主耶稣从来不减少他的要求。
He's telling us frankly, to follow him is never an easy thing.
他很直接了当地对我们说，跟从他从来不是一件容易的事情。
And this we see recurring in the Gospels and in all through Scripture. For example, in Mark chapter 8, verses 34-35.
所以同一点，在马可福音八章三十四、三十五节，我们同样也可以看到同一点。
Here it reads, Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it.
所以八章三十四节，于是叫众人和门徒来对他们说：若有人要跟从我，就当舍己，背起他的十字架来跟从我。因为凡要救自己生命的，必丧掉生命；凡为我和福音丧掉生命的，必救了生命。
And we can read Matthew chapter 10, verse 38.
还有马太福音十章三十八节。
And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me.
不背着他的十字架跟从我的，也不配做我的门徒。
Wow, the requirements of our Lord is pretty high.
那我们的老师给我们的这个标准是好高的。
What is he requiring of this rich young ruler? And what is he requiring of each of us who want to follow him?
主耶稣在 这些经文里面对他的门徒的要求是什么呢？
It is the third kind of faith that we were talking about last week.
就是第三类的信心我们上一周有谈到的。
I hope you still remember Albert's message last week.
希望你们还记得 Albert 上一周的信息。
The only kind of faith that pertains to salvation is what?
就是只有一种的信心能够使我们经历到全部完整的救恩是什么样的呢?
True faith that is total without any reservation.
所以真正的信心是没有保留的。
And that calls for our total commitment and obedience.
是需要我们完全的委身，完全的顺服。
Notice Jesus never asked for anything less than that.
所以主耶稣从不要求他的门徒少过这样的一个标准。
It's either all or nothing.
是所有的，或者是就不能够。
Now let's remember, Jesus does not give this condition because he wants to make life difficult for us as a disciple.
让我们留意到，主耶稣他有这样的要求，并不是想要使我们的生活很痛苦。
The verses we just read tell us we cannot be Jesus' disciple not because Jesus wouldn't permit us to follow him.
刚才我们看到经文，告诉我们其实主耶稣他说来跟从我，
He gives the condition that we have to, you know, give up our riches, deny ourselves, bear the cross. It sounds so difficult, but it's not Jesus trying to make it difficult for us.
虽然他的要求是那么的高，但是他并不是故意去使到我们很难去跟从他的。
It's not because he wouldn't permit us to follow him.
并不是他不想我们去跟从他。
It's because the fact is, we will not be able to be a disciple if we are not willing to give up all that we have and to yield it under his lordship.
是因为如果我们还抓着这些的产业财产的时候，我们就他们使到我们不能够去跟随主耶稣。
So unless we have this third type of faith, the total faith and total commitment,
除非我们有第三类的信心，就是没有保留、完全委身的信心。
No matter how sincere your desire is,
不论你是多么的真诚。
The reality is, you won't be able to go too far.
但是现实的情况就是，若是我们没有这样完全委身的信心，就不能够走在信心的道路长久的走下去。
Remember, salvation is a process.
大家记得，救恩是一个过程。
There's still a long road ahead.
还有很长的路要去走。
If you're carrying all these things that are hindering you, at one point, sooner or later, you won't be able to continue on.
如果你还背着这些很多缠累你的东西，那走得不远，不久之后，那肯定就走不下去了。
In this case, Jesus rightly discerns the root problem of this rich young ruler.
所以在这里，主耶稣很清楚地看到这个年轻的官他的根本的问题。
What is holding him back is the ties to the riches of this world.
使到他不能够前进，去进入永生的这个困难，就是他还与这个世界有紧紧的去，还他还紧紧的抓着这个世界，
还有财富。As I pointed out right at the start, if you read the parallel passage in Luke's Gospel, you will know that this rich young ruler is extremely rich.
所以之前我们谈到在这个平衡经文去看的时候，就会发现这个年轻人官他是很富有的。
It's not necessarily saying that he is particularly, you know, someone who loves money, who's greedy.
这里的描述并不是说年轻的官是一个很贪心的、很爱钱的一个人。
But one fact stands out is that he has more than he needs, right? That's why he's got riches, he's got possessions.
但是一个真实的情况就是他确实拥有很多的产业。是多过他所需要的。
And as we know, a spiritual principle that Jesus tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart is also.
那主耶稣曾经也教过一个属灵的原则，你的财宝在哪里，你的心也在那里。
And if you see his response to Jesus' request for him to sell his possessions, then you would know, certainly his heart is still with his treasures.
所以如果我们留意年轻的官他是如何回应主耶稣的这番话的时候，就会发现确实他的心还紧紧的放在他所拥有的财产上面。
And because of time, we won't go into detail, the characteristics of riches, why it's a danger to our spiritual survival.
所以因为时间的关系，我们就不会在今天详细的去看为什么财富对于属灵生命来说是一个危险。
Perhaps one day we will do that.
那或者有一天我们会详细的来看。
But suffice to say, Jesus makes it clear if he wants to enter the kingdom of God, he has to first go and get rid of all these riches and put his trust completely in God.
但是我们看到主耶稣在这里所强调的，若是一个人想进入永生，他必须去放下他对财富产业的这些依赖，而是完全的去回应神。
Guess what this young ruler's reaction was?
大家猜猜这个年轻的官他的回应是什么呢？
He tells us he was shocked, and then he went away grieving, for he had many possessions.
这里告诉我们，这个年轻的官是很惊奇的，但是后来又很伤心，很忧愁，因为他的产业很多。
So even though the text here clearly tells us Jesus loved him, Jesus loved this rich young man.
虽然经文里面谈到，很清楚地谈到主耶稣是爱这个年轻人的。
And I'm sure you would agree with me that he's a good person.
大家也可以跟我一样认同这个年轻人官是一个很杰出的一个人。
Well, yeah, good in the general standard, like what we mean by good. His moral and he's got tremendous potential even.
他在道德层面来说是很好的，那他也很有潜力。
Because he's sincere and he really wants to know the way to salvation.
因为他很真诚，也很认真地想知道如何能够承受永生。
But you see, the Lord Jesus still wouldn't compromise a bit.
但是纵然是这样，但主耶稣却没有降低对他的要求。
Jesus did not make it any easier for him to enter the kingdom of God.
主耶稣没有使他可以更容易的去进入到神的国。
Even though Jesus knows this young man is going to go, walk away, and not come back.
虽然主耶稣知道这个年轻人听到这个要求的时候会离开，但是主耶稣也没有降低对他的要求。
Now, I must clarify before we move on any further.
那在我们继续去思想之前，想澄清一点。
There are two points that we must grasp.
有两点我们需要去明白。
First, when we say we need to have total faith, total commitment.
那第一点就是，当我们说我们需要对神有完全没有保留的信心。
And here,we can see that Jesus actually requires the rich young ruler to sell his possessions.
那在这里主耶稣去要求这个年轻的官去变卖他一切的财产。
Then does it mean we, for us all, if we want to follow Jesus, we would then rush out and then sell all our possessions, dispose of whatever we have?
那是否对于那些想要跟从主耶稣的人来说，那我们跟从他就需要去快快的去出去去处理我们的产业，去把它都分给其他人呢？
I think this is quite a crucial thing for us to understand.
我想去澄清这一点。
As Christians, as children of God, we also need to exercise wisdom.
那作为神的儿女，那我们也需要去应用智慧。
And more importantly, we are to be led by God's Spirit.
更重要的是，我们需要被神的灵来带领。
So how we implement Jesus' teaching, it's not just a rash decision. It's not impulsive, and you just go and dispose of everything so that you have to beg and you have to rely on other people to help you.
所以，当我们去应用主耶稣的教导的时候，也要分辨，不是很鲁莽的去变卖财产。使到自己成为一无所有，需要别人来资助你。
Because what's the point if you give up everything and then you can't even supply your own need? Then you will then become a burden to other people.
因为这么做是没有意义的。当你变卖一切所有，使到自己都不能够支持自己，需要别人来救助你的时候，那这样做是很没有智慧的。
Because even the apostle tells us we are to work and then not only to supply our own need, and if we have more, if we have excess, then we can help other people.
就如使徒保罗也曾经说，每个人都要勤奋的工作，使到自己可以支持自己，甚至有余的时候可以去帮助其他的人。
So when we totally commit ourselves to God, through following Jesus,
当我们完全的去回应神，去跟随主耶稣基督的时候，
we are actually putting everything that we have.
那我们是把我们所有的一切
on the altar of sacrifice.
把它放在祭坛上去奉献。
All that we have, our life, our resources, our talents, our money, everything, our time, is now at God's disposal.
就是我们的产业、生命、时间、才能，这一切，那我们都放在神的脚前，是他可以去来支配的。
I no longer claim it as my own.
不再说这些是属于我的。
I'm willing to share with anyone.
我是愿意去分享给任何一个人。
As God leads.
当神带领我这么去做的时候，
Just like the song I offer my life，
就好像一首诗歌，我献上我的生命。
Remember Jia Hui led us this song at summer camp last year，
还记得佳慧在 去年的夏令营曾经带我们唱过这首歌。
Beautiful lyrics. It says all that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you, O Lord。
这首美丽的歌词是这么说，主，我献上生命给你，将自己完全献上，毫无保留，放在你的脚前。
What can we give that you have not given?
我们所拥有的，其实本是属于你。
And what do we have that is not already yours?
若主不赐予我们，怎么能给予呢？
All we possess are these lives we are living, and that's what we give to you, Lord.
我们所有的，其实我们都想完全的献上给你。
所以我们所有的其实就是这个生命。So we want to first and foremost give the lordship of our life to God.
所以首先我们想要做的就是将我们生命的主权完全的交给神。
Just as our Lord Jesus, his great example in everything, he lets God his Father do his work in his life.
就好像主耶稣他自己的他的榜样，他所做的一切都是让天父去带着他去做。
And then the second point that we have to be careful not to misunderstand.
那我想澄清的第二点是
，Even the act of disposing all your possessions does not necessarily mean you have indeed cut all your ties to the world.
纵然你愿意去完全的去变卖你一切所有，并不等同于已经这个世界已经跟这个世界没有任何的缠累了。
Because you can sell all your possessions, and yet, like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13,
就如同使徒保罗在哥林多前书13章所说的，你可以变卖你一切所有的。
And yet you do not have love.
但若你没有爱的话，
Then even if you give your body over to be burnt,
甚至你把自己的身体 去给出来去焚烧，
But without love,
但若没有爱的时候，
You're still nothing.
你还是什么都不是，
It's worth nothing.
也是没有意义，没有价值的。
And in that sense, we are not following the example of Jesus.
那如果这么做的时候，我们就不是跟从主耶稣的榜样去行。
Because the mark of a true disciple of Jesus is someone who loves God with his all, and he loves his neighbor as himself.
因为主耶稣门徒的记号就是，他是全心全意的爱神，也爱他的邻舍如同自己。
So by now, I'm sure all of us will echo with Jesus' words, how hard it is for someone to enter the kingdom of God.
所以我们看了这么多相信大家都会同意，确实进入神的国是何等的难。
Let us look at the final response and decision of this rich young ruler.
让我们看这个年轻的官他最后的一个回应。
You can see from verse 20, we'll see later that this rich young ruler actually felt really disheartened after hearing all these words. And what did he do?In the end, he walked away.
所以当这个年轻的官听到主耶稣的回答的时候，他是很失落的。那他做了什么呢？最后他就转身走了。
He found the cost too high for him.
他发现这个代价是 对他来说是太高了。
This cross a bit too heavy for him to bear.
他发现这个十字架太重啊，去承担。
And in verse 23, it tells us, Jesus looked around and then turned to his disciples and said, How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God.
第二十三节这里说，主耶稣周围一看，对门徒说，有钱财的人进神的国是何等的难啊。
And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God.
门徒稀奇他的话，耶稣又对他们说，小子，依靠钱财的人进神的国是何等的难啊。
So how hard it is?
那确实有多难呢？
We'll see in a moment. In fact, it's just impossible.
之后我们看到一会就会看到确实是没有可能的。
That is if we rely on our own strength.
只要我们是凭着自己去做的话就没有可能。
Verse 25, Jesus says, It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.
25节，骆驼穿过针的眼比财主进神的国还容易呢。
So here we see that Jesus is again using some sort of hyperbolic language.
在这里我们看到主耶稣用比喻的手法去教导。
His 一个很夸张的手法。And he's trying to impress upon us this important truth.
他想去用这样的夸张的手法去教导一个很重要的道理。
If you hold on to the riches and your possessions, you will find it difficult or even impossible to enter the kingdom of God.
如果一个人抓住他的产业，那就没有可能去进入到神的国。
Why do I say it's even impossible?
为什么是没有可能的呢？
Do you understand the language used here? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.
大家明白主耶稣在这里说的吗？就是骆驼穿过针的眼比财主进神的国还容易。
Now, who has seen a real camel?
大家有谁见过真的骆驼的吗？
Can you raise your hand?
可以举一下手吗？
Oh, Pastor Joe has seen one. Oh, Jill has seen one. Where?
所以 Jill 跟 Pastor Joe 都看过。
Wow, so we can interview them like what they're like. But for your convenience, I found some pictures of camels.
为了方便大家去看，所以我找到了一个图画。
Well, I think most of you know camels are mostly famous for their humps.
大家知道骆驼他们很特别的地方就是他们的这个峰。
That's what distinguish them from other animals.
就使到他们和其他的动物有所区别。
But contrary to popular misconception, camels actually don't store water in their humps.
要澄清的一点就是，其实骆驼并不是把水放在它的这个驼峰里面。
Do you know what they store?
大家知道它储存的是什么吗？
Yeah, Jason knows. Fat!
Jason 知道，其实就是储存脂肪。
That's what gives them the energy to keep going, right?
脂肪可以使到它们有力量去走。
And another interesting fact about camels is that they can drink as much as 40 gallons of water at once.
所以另外一点关于骆驼有趣的事情就是它们可以一次过喝40加仑的水。
And the only time you will see a camel without a hump is guess when?
所以有一个情况下一个骆驼是失去了它的驼峰，那是什么样的情况呢？
不是失去，是没有驼峰，是唯一时间没有驼峰，是什么时候呢？ Anyone?减肥，要想想怎么帮骆驼减肥。 We have to think how can we help a camel to, you know, keep fit and lose weight. Well, actually, the only time is when a baby camel is just born, first born.
所以一个骆驼它没有驼峰的时候，就是当它生这个小骆驼之后。
不是，是 sorry, maybe I'll repeat. The only time you'll see a camel without a hump is when it is first born.
就是当一个骆驼刚刚出生的时候是没有驼峰的。
But once the baby camel is old enough to eat solids, the hump will start showing and growing.
而当一个小骆驼开始吃这个 食物的时候呢，那它的驼峰就会开始长出来了。
So what do these interesting facts tell us about what Jesus is trying to convey to us?
所以这些关于骆驼有趣的事情，那帮助我们明白主耶稣他的教导的哪一些方面呢？
Can you see anything in common or you know, similar between us and camels?
就是当我们去思想的时候，我们人跟骆驼有没有什么相似的地方呢？
You know, interestingly, the Bible also talks about wealth and riches as fat.
很有趣的一点就是圣经当提到财产跟产业的时候也是用脂油这个字去形容他们。
We, like camels, love storing up riches, storing up fat.
我们人也好像骆驼一样很喜欢去储存东西储存财产，就好像储存这些脂肪一样。
Of course, like we who are health conscious, we try not to take in too much fatty food, right?
当然对于我们很注重健康的人来说就不会去吃太多的有脂肪类的东西。
And yet, as we all know, if you study a bit of science, if you have more intake than output, then you're bound to be storing up fat.
那我们知道一个人如果吃的比他所做的还要更多，那这些热量就会成为脂肪。
So in our natural human nature is natural for us to want to take, want to store up instead of giving or losing.
人的本性是想要去储存更多而不是去失去。
So very soon we will be like these camels, having our humps bigger and bigger and bigger.
所以很快一个人他就会有这些所谓的驼峰越来越大，当他储存不同的东西的时候。
And it's interesting and true that only when we were born that we didn't take anything with us, we didn't store anything, and as soon as we have the ability, we would start storing up.
另外一个相似的地方就是当我们出生的时候其实也好像小骆驼是没有驼峰的，但是当我们可以吃可以开始有能力的时候就开始去储存。
So here Jesus uses camel to compare to symbolize those people who have riches. And what is the eye of a needle?
那这里主耶稣用骆驼去描述那些储存产业不同东西的人。那但是这里主耶稣谈到另外一个东西，就是针眼。针眼是什么呢？
When I first read the Bible, I actually didn't know what the eye of a needle mean, even in Chinese, 针眼, I didn't have any idea what that was.
所以当我最初读圣经的时候，其实我不明白针眼是什么意思。
But basically, if you've sewed before, that's the hole, the little hole, right? Like where you put the thread through.
大家如果缝过东西的时候就知道针眼就是针它的尾巴有一个洞。
So that's very tiny, isn't it?
那个洞是很小的。
How can a camel ever get through the eye of a needle?
所以一个骆驼怎么样可以过这个针眼呢？
That's of course impossible.
当然我们知道是完全不可能的。
Unless a miracle takes place.
除非有一个神迹发生。
Otherwise, there's no way to be done.
要不然就没有可能这件事情可以。
So basically, Jesus is saying that in a hyperbolic or proverbial way, that the possession of riches is bound to hinder a person from entering the kingdom of God. It's impossible.
So, 主耶稣在这里强调的就是，是没有可能一个拥有财富、财产的人是没有可能去进入到神的国的。
So that's why the disciples got really astonished, and they were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?"
这也是这个原因。门徒就分外稀奇，对他说：“这样谁能够得救呢？”
But here is the good news. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God."
但好消息就是，主耶稣在这里说：“在人是不能，在神却不然，因为神凡事都能。”
That's still hope.
所以还是有希望的。
While it is impossible for a man to take a rich person or any person to make him go through the eye of a needle.
所以对人来说，要穿过针眼是没有可能的。
God can do it.
但是对神来说，确实可能。
How?
怎么做呢？
He can do it by changing us, changing our heart, transforming our whole person.
神是借着改变我们，改变我们的心，改变我们整个人去达成的。
This is the miracle that I was talking about. This is the miracle that takes place when we are born again.
所以这个就是一个神迹，这个神迹是在我们重生的时候发生的。
And that's why the title of today's message is Born Again, the Miracle of Total Transformation.
所以这也是今天的主题，重生就是神完全的改变的这个奇迹。
God can transform our human nature, our tendency to rely or love money, and he can change our whole inner attitude.
所以神是可以改变一个人的心的，改变他对这些财富，对财产的这些的依赖。
So we can use the picture of a camel. It's like a camel having to really lose weight, like what Sister Olive was saying. So reduce to almost zero, then he can go through the eye of a needle.
所以就好像一个骆驼，真的好像刚才师母说要去减肥，就失去了他的驼峰，越变越小，直到他穿过针眼。
差不多要成为无有才能穿过了。So drastic action has to be taken in order to bring about this transformation.
所以很，所以需要一个很绝对的一个改变才能够，使到这件事情可以发生。
So to be born anew is something that no man can achieve by himself. It's impossible to man.
所以重生对于一个人来说是没有办法靠着自己做到的。
But it's certainly possible with God.
但是却是靠着神，却是可能的。
It's God's saving work in us.
是神拯救的工作在一个人的心里。
His saving grace, His life-giving power, and His great love for us is manifested through our transformation.
神他拯救的恩典，他的大能，在一个人的当他在一个人身上发动的时候，就可以改变这个人。
But we need to do our part in responding to him in true faith.
但我们需要负上自己的责任，用真正的信心去回应神。
What is true faith again?
那真正的信心是什么呢？
It's complete trust and obedience.
是完全的信靠跟顺服。
As shown in our total commitment to doing God's will without reservation.
是用完全的委身去回应神，没有保留的去跟随他。
So in light of today's message and last week's message, I want to leave you a few questions to think about.
那听完今天的信息还有上周的信息，我想留几个问题给大家去思考。
What kind of faith do you have today?
你拥有的信心是怎么样的信心呢？
Do you even have faith?
你是否有信心呢？
Even if your faith is sincere, is it total?
如果你觉得自己有信心，也是很真诚，但是你的信心是否是完全没有保留的呢？
As we see from today's illustration, a real life account story of this rich young ruler.
就好像我们今天所看到的这个事件，从这个年轻的官的事件看到。
Even though he's sincere,And he really longs to know the way to salvation.
这个官是非常的真诚的，他很迫切的想知道如何才能够 得到永生。
And he's even got the answer.
他甚至得到了答案。
But how badly does he want salvation?
但是他究竟有多么想要救恩呢？
How badly do you want salvation?
那对于你们来说，你们有多么想要救恩呢？
Is it so much that you're willing to give up anything in order to get it?
你对救恩的这份迫切是否多到使你可以没有保留的去不顾一切的去得到它呢？
And since it involves us first being a child of God so that we can inherit eternal life, Since as we learned today that we need to first become a child of God in order to inherit eternal life. 因为今天我们就学到，我们如果要承受永生，那我们首先必须成为神的儿女。So, are you a child of God? Do you desire to be a child of God?
所以大家，你是神的儿女吗？你是否决定要成为神的儿女呢？
Do you know the character of our God?
大家对神的性情是否熟悉呢？
Because if you don't,then it's likely that you would have reservation. You'll be scared to commit everything to this God that you don't know.
因为如果大家对神不了解的话，那我们对于委身给他是会有所保留的。
But if you know God's character, His total commitment to us, then we would have complete faith and trust in Him.
但如果大家曾经认识神，经历过他，那我们就不会惧怕去完全的用这样的信心去回应他。
And if we understand that everything that we have, including this life, is from Him, then it's just natural and understandable, reasonable for us to offer up all that we have back to Him.
如果我们意识到其实我们拥有的一切，甚至我们的生命都是从神而来的话呢，那其实我们对回应他就不会有所保留了。
And finally, since God loves us so much that He would send His beloved Son Jesus to die for us, to be our Lord and our example.
还有，那既然我们知道神爱我们到这个地步，他愿意去差他最疼爱的这个独生子耶稣基督来到。
Then what else would He withhold from us?Who want to commit our lives to Him?
那么他岂不会把其他的好的东西都给我们这些愿意回应他的人呢？
So I pray that God would open up our hearts and the spiritual eyes so that we can see the importance, the absolute necessity of being born again and how we can be born again.
求神都打开我们属灵的眼睛。帮助我们明白到如何才能够经历到重生能够回应神。
And remember today's message, born again is a miracle of transformation that only God can do in your life.
所以希望大家记得重生是一个神迹当我们用完全的心去回应神的时候，神就会在我们生命中做成这样的事情。
And I pray that this miracle will happen in your life.
我也祈求神这样的神迹可以发生在你们的身上。
Let us close in prayer.
让我们用一个祷告结束。
Can I invite Albert to pray?